I got another one I could tell you. Aaron, I have so many things.
Go right ahead.
I'm lucky to be here. 81 years old. I just turned 81. Believe me, somebody's looking down at me. I have a good wife, that's why. When we were overseas, we got our base pay and we got flight pay. We had to fly 4 hours a month, and we got 50% more flight pay on our base. But coming back by boat, and then before we could get back into the, into training again, it was several months. And they gave you 3 months to make up that flight pay. If you could get, at the third month, if you got 12 hours in, we'll credit the other months for it. So when we went back to the Texas there, and we told them we had a number of guys like me. So what they did, they had special training missions on Sundays. How many hours you need? 8 hours. How many hours you need? 12 hours. Okay, you got 12 hours? Okay, we'll send you out to Arizona, Tucson. And to go to Tucson and come back, I said, you'll get your 12 hours. So the one Sunday I left to get those 12 hours. And there were three others on a plane with us. And we flew in an AT-11. I don't know, that's a smaller plane, twin-engine plane. We flew in that, and what did you do? What, you just took a book along. What could, there's nothing much you could do. So we were there, and we were flying out there, and we were over Arizona, over the mountains there. And the pilot was the one, he was the one that we figured knew his way there, you know? Finally, he turned around. He says, you know what, fellas? He says, I'm lost. He says, you're lost? Yeah, he says, I can't find Tucson. I called. They had the radio there. They called. He says, I couldn't get no response. No response. And we looked down. Where the hell are we? We're in the mountains of Arizona. There's nothing there. You can't see any town, no air base, no nothing. And on top of it, we were very low on gas. He says, I only got about 15 minutes of gas left. I says, holy God, what the hell are we going to do now? I says, after all this stuff here, he says, I'll tell you what, he says, just go flying around. He says, when he flew, he went down low to see that there was some kind of a field that we could land in. And a lot of times when he flew land, we had to go up, we had to go over the mountain again. So finally he come to one place there we saw, looked like a little field. He said, go down and take a look at that. So he went down and took a look at the place there, and it looked like a little plowed field. And of all the things, somebody had put up with one of those windbags. So it must be an emergency little field. This is a small field. At the end of the field, there was a drop of about 400 or 500 feet, and it was just a small field. So the pilot, so he says to the pilot, well, do you think you can make it in there? The guy says, I think so. He says, that's all we got. There's nothing else we could do. So he came in. It was kind of rough, you know, the field and all. He came in, and we just managed to land just before we drop down. Where the hell are we? In the middle of no place. The next thing, about 5 minutes later, 5-10 minutes later, all Indians started to come around us. The squaws with their pupusas and the Indians, you know, all around us. And then the next thing we know, some car pulled up, and it was the sheriff of that area. See? I says, where the hell are we? You're on Apache Indian ground. He says, these fellows here, that's the base, Apache Base, White River, Arizona. That was the Apache base there. That's where that was a Geronimo. I think that was his name. That's the one base that he was at. And he says, we told him what happened. He says, fellas, he says, you're lucky. This is the only little spot here in this whole area. He says, if you had did not land here. Then you were out of gas. He says, I hate to tell you how many times I had to go up to the mountains and bring back bodies of these fellows that, never could land a plane.
Hmm.
Well, I tell you what, he says, fellas, come back into town and we'll have to call up, there's a base McNair, I think. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to call up the town. It's a bigger town than this little White River. He says, well, we can't call from White River. He says, we have one telephone operator and she's off on Sunday. So he says, well, fine, that's all right. So we went there and he says, you know, we're hungry. Well, we had two white women here. They have a little restaurant. They're close on Sunday, but I'll call them and tell them to come over and open up for you fellas to give you a meal. And she did that. What do you want? Nice steak, and And I never forgot that. So he says, after you finish eating, he says, I'll take you into McNair, next town. And you could call from there and call Tucson and tell them what the deal is. They'll be looking for you. Of course, you know, it was past our time. So that's, we stayed there overnight, and we went to the, on those Indian bases, they had those, what do they call those stores?
Trading posts.
Trading posts. Getting old. They had the trading posts, and the fellow had the trading, it was a white guy. He was from Chicago. He came down with his wife, you know. He had a couple of kids. And he come in, and he says, fellas, where are you going to stay? I said, we don't know. He says, you know, we have accommodations if you want. He says, we could accommodate you. He says, a dollar a night. I said, dollar? Fine. Dollar a night. In fact, before we went there, he says, in fact, I'll even give you a meal. Wild turkey.
Wow.
He says, this is beautiful hunting country. So that's where we were overnight. We stayed there overnight, during the early morning, they come down with a gas truck there and filled up our tanks. And we managed to take off. We did all right taking off. So on the way back, we stopped at Texas, El Paso. And we stopped there, and they told us that and we were going to go on to our base. We got off ready to fly. They said, no, you can't. He says, the weather's bad. Where you're going, he says, the weather's bad. See, Midland, Texas. The weather's bad. You'd have to stay overnight at some place overnight, you know. So we flew and we went to a little place overnight. A little town, Wink, W-I-N-K, Wink, Texas. It was an oil town. We landed in Wink. We felt, well, we'd go, we get a motel or something there. And there was another plane that had come in just ahead of us. And they had a number of people on that plane. They landed, they had a land. And we went to the little hotel there. And the woman in charge, she says, we went up there. She says, you know, fellas, she says, I have no more room here. She says, we use all our room up. But come to my house, another dollar a night. You don't mind, do you? No, heck, as long as we have a place to sleep. Then we took off. And then she was very pleasant. She says, my husband's in the service, too. And he's in the service, and he's nowhere nearby. I says, he's in the service? He says, where is he stationed? She says, Fort Monmouth, New Jersey. I says, Fort Monmouth? I've been trying to get into Fort Monmouth for 3 years. He was at Wink, Texas, and they sent to Fort Monmouth, New Jersey. Could you imagine that? I told her that. I says, that's where we live. That's where I live, you know, close by, I said. That's close by to where I am. Fort Monmouth, New Jersey.